ready to go again?
What do you want me to do?
Hit me.
You're a 15-year-old.
You don't... Oh.
What the hell?
Act like a bitch, get slapped like a bitch.
Oh, God.
Oh, take your tampon out, Dave.
Hey everyone, it's Bina 007 back again for a spoiler-free 10-minute review of Kick-Ass 2, which I guess is this weekend's big release. I was a huge fan of the original Kick-Ass movie. I thought it was so unexpected, so subversive, so radical, and so fun, and even moving. I mean, the idea of this geeky little kid wanting to be a superhero, but dressing up in a costume vigilante style and getting his ass really kicked was kind of crazy and gonzo. But we all fell in love, didn't we, with Hit Girl, this cute little blonde moppet who turns out to be this foul-mouthed, really capable Avenger. And that sweet relationship between her and her father, who's a kind of psychologically messed up cop turned Batman wannabe. There was so much wrong with this movie, Kick-Ass. It was so reveling in the glory of slightly too young people saying slightly too rude words. But it was hilarious and it was wonderful. Unfortunately, the sequel is, it's been defanged. It's a really neutered, ballless movie, I have to say. In fact, I don't think it goes too far to accuse it of having a real identity crisis. I'm not sure if it has the heart to be as rude and radical as it used to be. And it ends up just in this really bizarre, almost hypocritical place of doing all the crazy stuff that we had in the first movie, but kind of apologizing for it all the time. What happens in this movie? It picks up where the last one left off. So you've got both Mindy, aka Hit Girl, and Dave, aka Kick-Ass, trying to adjust to life. Mindy's basically being forced into being just a normal high school girl by her new adoptive parent and is really struggling. She doesn't get that whole Mean Girls thing. She doesn't get the dating scene. She's really alarmed to find out that she now fancies boys. And much of the best part of this movie is seeing Hit Girl try to navigate high school in this wonderful sort of John Hughes spoof. In fact, there's a particular scene early on that's such a good homage to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is one of my favourite movies of all time, so of course I loved that. But on the other side of the coin, you've got Dave, aka Kick-Ass, who doesn't want to leave the life of being a crime-fighting vigilante and collects around him a group of misfits who want to do the same, including Jim Carrey in this weird cameo as Colonel Stars and Stripes. And in an intellectual sort of subconscious way, I knew Jim Carrey was in this film, but it's such an anonymous performance. It really is very, very odd indeed and doesn't really add anything to the movie. In fact, it's fair to say that his dog, his crime-fighting, kiddie-fiddler-hating dog, has more personality in this film than Jim Carrey. So that's the situation of the film until our erstwhile supervillain turns up, Christopher Mintz-Platz, who in the first movie played Red Mist, so a very sort of rich kid, son of a mafiosi, who wanted to be a superhero, but he kind of accepts his destiny to be the ultimate douchebag supervillain and collects around him a group of really kind of ripped, nasty people and plans to just unleash mayhem, particularly directed at Kick-Ass. And that sets up the good guys versus bad guys, and then, of course, it sort of goes towards its inevitable showdown of mayhem. Now, as in the first movie, what is kind of weird about the second movie is there is a lot of cartoonish, highly camp violence, and yet the violence has consequences. And again, characters will say, this isn't a comic book, people will die. And so you have this very uneasy thing that you're not sure whether you're meant to be taking this seriously or not. And there are scenes where, you know, characters do get hurt and it is moving. And then you think, well, if I am being moved by the consequences of this violence, then as much as I am not a prude and I'm not in favour of censorship, you do wonder whether this movie really is appropriately rated as a 15 in the UK and whether it should have been an 18. And I'll give you another example. There is a scene where sort of Red Mist, now reincarnated as the mother effer, the ultimate supervillain, is about to enact a scene of sexual violence upon a girl. And it's meant to be comedic because, you know, he can't get the proverbial up and he can't go through with it. But I was just like, I can't believe this is in a 15 movie. Together with the combination of the heavy violence and the really hardcore language. So once again, you know, I'm not the type of person who is normally very prudish and doesn't like violence and bad language, but it did feel a bit weird in this film. The other thing that I found even more irritating than that, as I said before, is the fact that the director feels the need to comment on its use of violence and bad language all the time. So he gives Colonel Stars and Stripes the attribute of really hating bad language. And even after the final ultra-violent, ultra-ludicrous, over-the-top, egregious warehouse showdown scene, one of the good guys is kind of like, yeah, we should act like superheroes, and that means, like, not swearing. And I was like, oh my god, I can't believe you have just done this. And in fact, thinking back of it, there's a big play about Hit Girl having a swear jar. I mean, come on already. Just have the balls to be what you want to be. The message of this movie is that the two main characters have to forget about their identity crisis, stop doubting themselves, and just take the consequences of what they want to be. And yet the director himself cannot bring that integrity and that courageousness to bear in his own movie. I mean, it's ironic, and sadly makes for a very compromised end product. Which is not to say I didn't have a good enough time watching this movie. I mean, it's only 90 minutes longish, passed very quickly, fairly enjoyable, but it's not like the first film, it's not an instant classic, and I feel, of course I probably will go and watch Kick-Ass 3, but I don't really feel that same love for the franchise that I thought I did at the end of the first installment. So sad to say, a very mixed review of Kick-Ass 2. If you've seen it and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to comment on the blog at bina007.com. In the meantime, have a great day.
Promise me that you will never dress up in that outfit again.
Kick-Ass isn't a costume. It's who you really are. My daddy made me promise I'd never stop defending this city. I'm prepared for anything.
We gotta make this right.
Kick-Ass 2 has a running time of 103 minutes. It's rated R in the USA, and I feel somewhat generously 15 in the UK, for strong bloody violence, sex references, and very strong language indeed. It's currently on release in the UK, USA, Ireland, as well as a whole bunch of other countries, and rolls out for global release over the rest of this month and into September. The full schedule of release dates is part of the written review at bina007.com, and the music for today's review is taken from the original soundtrack to the movie.